Welcome everybody to Stavi's World. 904-800-STAV. Call in. We'll solve your problems. Got an awesome episode today. My boy Nimesh Patel coming all the way from Brooklyn. Took a nice long Uber to be here, folks.
So stop and go.
Yeah. I do like making everyone come to Queens. That does feel like...
It is a power move.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this address?
Bleep that. We don't want these lunatics knowing where the fuck, and his mouth too, by the way. Yeah. Give him like the fucking, so they can't read his lips. We don't need any deaf Redditors reading his lips and finding out the address.
You know what's scary is I was on Reddit the other day and there's people that can triangulate exactly where you are if there's like a picture of your house. I'm like, that's fucking scary as fuck.
No, Ari has said that where he learned like how to take pictures in a way. Because he didn't want to get Reddited so bad that he would go to like Thailand and like he would just disappear. But he said one time somebody like triangulated his where he was like in some remote ass part of the fucking world. Yeah, we're lucky that guy Gio Rainbolt uses his powers for good. You know that guy?
No, is that the guy?
Who's like nice. The guy who's like on Google Maps.
Uh-huh.
Dude, you could show this guy a picture of grass, blurry. And he'll be like, "That's Botswana." he's awesome. That guy rules. But yeah, dude. Don't stalk us. Hopefully, we're out of here soon. This apartment. We've been in this apartment for years. This is the first place I moved when I came to New York.
I fucking love because I know how much I make on the road.
Yeah.
So I know how much you're making.
Yeah,
more or less. You have not lost the Greek.
No, you got to stay humble, bro.
You never know when the government's going to come taking all your money.
Dude, I have that immigrant shit of like, it's ending tomorrow.
Yes.
Like, keep your money, keep it. Like, the fact that I use a bank is huge in terms of like trust. You know what I mean? Like, definitely from a family that would like put money in a fucking mattress, not let the government know about shit. My dad, you know, we were poor, but he also, it's funny because he didn't make enough money to really have to pay taxes, but he still cheated on his taxes just out of the principle of the matter. Like the
Why
government,
would I pay this?
The government doesn't get to know how much my contracting business makes, even though it was a fucking failure and he was a horrific businessman.
You're doing okay, Stav.
If
no one's told you that, you're doing all right. You're doing okay, man.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. But that is the thing I always worry about. Because we have an immigrant experience. Obviously, we share that. But Greeks and Indians, much different place in the average success rate in America.
I don't know much about how successful the Greeks have been. Really?
Yeah. Like, they'll run a great restaurant. They'll be like, you'll get a couple who become like these, like, they own everything and like they become like landlords.
People own Queens.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of shit. But it's like, in terms of I guess the thing that's interesting though, when you're like a white ethnicity, is that like within a couple generations.
I was just gonna say, like, did the Greeks come over here and change their last names because they faced discrimination
in the beginning? Yeah, so it's really funny because some people we grew up with in Baltimore, because me and Elders grew up in Baltimore together in Greektown. He's Albanian though, so you don't have to talk to him.
I can smell it on him.
Yeah. If there was a caste system, Albanians is underground. Like in the Greek caste system. Albanians don't get to be on the pyramid. It's like grass, worms, Albanians.
My uncle crossed the border from Albania to Greece one time, and he said like border guard shot at him in the field. He had to like dunk some bullets to get to the other side on Greece. Like
they were just willing to commit extrajudicial murder to keep one Albanian out of Greece. And no, it would not have been a problem for those guys.
Is it historically a problem, or is it historically y'all Albanians did something? Or it was
no, it's pure racism,
pure hatred,
pure
just like a part of the world where everyone is the same to the rest of the world.
But
it's like no one knows the difference between Albanians and Serbians
for sure. But that's that is, you know, that racism is so deep baked into like the human brain that like you go to Eastern Europe and it's like just slightly different variations of white people will hate each other.
It's like Russia like hating feuds. Ukraine, and it's like, you're all the same to me. Why are you fighting?
It's borderline, like, as if not more racist than, like, you know, than you had here between, like, maybe not black people. definitely got it the worst. But if we're talking Hispanic, I think Albanians get treated worse than Hispanics do, or at least did. That's the suffering, the racism suffering index. We should figure that out, Elvis.
Eastern European nations, island nations. Yeah, for sure.
Because they're straight up killing each other. They're still straight up doing, like, especially like Yugoslavia when those countries broke up.
Uh-huh.
Like that. Have you ever seen the two brothers, the documentary through the Yugoslavian national basketball team? It's really fucking good.
I've heard about it, but I didn't care enough about the white struggle.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If you can sneak in through basketball, because it talks about how, I mean, that Yugoslavian team, they had, if you were like to put back Yugoslavia before it was like, you know, separated, it would be Serbia. It would be wherever the fuck Luka's from. Where's Luka?
Croatia.
No. But you'd have, so Serbia, Croatia, wherever the fuck Luka's from.
Slovenia. Oh, man.
And so, dude, those teams might, if you, we're talking Jokic, Luka, and a bunch of Croatians.
What's his name? Peja Stojakovic?
Peja. But, like, in today, if you were to get, like, the modern Yugoslavian team, they could legitimately beat America. Like, they're that good.
You would call them the chain smokers.
Yeah.
That's Luka's secret.
Absolutely, dude.
He's just fucking slamming cigs.
He's so awesome because he is, like, he does have, it's crazy to even say that he is as talented, or he has, like, the game of LeBron James, but he just will never take care of his body the way LeBron did. Like, if Luka was in the gym, dude, this guy would already be
a monster.
Already. I mean, yeah, that's that picture of him drinking a beer, but that's in the playoffs. But he was playing the Warriors, and he was drinking a beer. It was awesome.
He's a monster. But you know, my favorite Eastern European story, I was in Peru with my friend, like, right after graduation, college graduation, and we're with two Polish dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to climb this mountain for a hike. And it's like, not that high, but it's enough where we're getting winded.
Of course.
These two Polish dudes just like blaze past us. And they're smoking cigarettes the whole time. And one's like a portly guy. The other one's like rail thin. I'm like, how the fuck? Like, pinky in the brain just flying past us.
It's awesome. Yeah,
it's the cigarettes.
It's truly the cigarettes. And like some of those motherfuckers will live forever.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But
hating cigarettes keep you alive.
Yeah. Hating other whites. Yeah, racism towards other whites and cigarettes. Mm-hmm. That's the fountain of youth. the thing we're talking about, or like before we went on these hella tangents here, was that like there's a bunch of people that like changed their name, and we're like, there's two generations of Greeks where you have like the Ellis Island Greeks where they wanted to assimilate. We're talking like 40s, 50s, that kind of thing. And they changed their name from, like, you know, Papadopoulos to Pappas.
Yeah.
Or, like, I knew someone who was, like, Zizisopoulos that went to Zizis or something. Like, they would shorten it. And even, like, one of our friends, his name was, like, his grandfather's name was, like, some long-ass name, and they just gave him the name Birch. Like, it just didn't, it was nothing like his name. Uh-huh. And, like, we have a friend who, his grandfather came to America in the 50s, forgot Greek. Like, he has, like, relatives that moved to Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and they just became, like, fucking white people.
Americans,
like,
right.
Within a generation. It wasn't even like that. This guy forgot Greek, met the lady who he married, who was fresh off the boat Greek, didn't know English, relearned Greek with a fucking Greek, with an American accent.
Wow.
And it's like, it's this insane thing within the span of one guy.
The power of, like, pussy, man.
Yeah. She must have honestly sucked pretty good dick. She had that vibe. I only knew her as a very old lady, but she was up to something
back in the day. Sorry, friend, man. My apologies.
Nah. I mean, we won't get into it, but there are some funny stories where it feels like she did give up some pussy back in the day. But
I bet there are like super successful businessmen who are Greek, but they just don't claim Greek because you can hide it.
That's the thing that's so interesting, is that you, like, for better or worse, right, there's obviously some negatives to not being able to hide your ethnic identity, like racism, you know, profiling, all this kind of shit. But that is something I think about all the time, where it's like, it would be so easy for an ethnically white, like not minority exactly, but, you know, an ethnic white population within a generation or two, if you don't, like, teach your kid Greek, if you don't, like, send them to Greece to, like, he could just be a fucking honky ass motherfucker. Yep. Just a regular ass white person.
If you grew up in Alabama,
yeah,
like you would be Stavros Hayokas, yeah, speaking.
I'd be Steve Houck. Yeah. I would straight up be Steve Houck. Or not. And that, I literally am scared of that. Like, because being Greek, it's like, whatever. I don't know how you feel. Like, I feel like most immigrants have a complicated relationship with their parents one way or mm-hmm. another. But I still, and like, there was definitely a part of me when I was like going through my rebellious shit in my early 20s where I was like, fuck this. I don't want anything to do with this bullshit. Like, yeah, I'm Greek, whatever. I don't care. And going to Greece was always this fucking thing where I was like, I'd have to see my fucking relatives and yeah. they were fucking annoying. And they would, you know, they would just tell me I'm too fucking fat. They would be like, that, you know,
tomatoes. Like,
Yeah. I've told the story so many times, but my aunt, the last time I went to Greece, the first thing she says to me is, "You want meatballs, you fat homo?" That's like word one. And look, that, my family's a piece of shit, whatever. But anyway, I had this.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, no, they're fun. When you accept them for what they are, they're awesome. Yeah. But when you're like a little ass kid and you're like, wow, this is. And my dad would talk it up. He'd be like, he would always guilt you. I don't know if Indians like don't want to go to India the way Greeks. So the thing I was saying earlier is there's two generations. There's the Ellis Island assimilate. Uh-huh. And my family came here in 1984.
Okay.
You know what I mean? 82. Yeah. Like, there, Jerry curls existed when my family immigrated. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they didn't want to be here. They came. My dad didn't want to be here. He didn't have any of that like, wow, America, the greatest country in the world. It was more like my mom's parents were here. And they were like, all right, well, we'll go save up money. We'll work in America for a couple years and we'll move back to Greece. And then they just got stuck here. So there's this perpetual, like, the 80s Greek immigrants, they weren't fleeing. Greece wasn't that bad. It was just maybe a little better. Or you had, like, relatives that were like, come. And a lot of them kind of felt like they got trapped here.
Uh-huh.
They never assimilated. My dad, like, you know, we had fucking satellite Greek TV. Like, all his friends, he goes to a coffee shop. They all speak Greek. Like, he still speaks better Greek without question and uses it way more than he does English. So it's this weird thing where if you're going to rebel against, if you don't like your family, it kind of pushes you into like mainstream American culture. Like,
yeah.
Like, I have friends who just don't like their families and don't want to be Greek as a result.
So I grew up surrounded by Indian people.
Right.
Like, there's all this narrative in American culture now that it's like all the Indians only grew up around one Indian person. Like, yeah, that's why there's always like this woe is me kind of Indian shit.
Right.
At least with some people I know. Whereas with me, it's like I grew up surrounded by Indian people.
So
my rebellion came from not wanting to be Indian, but not wanting to be Indian like everyone else was Indian.
Right, right, right.
So I would do my own shit. And like, I didn't, that like held me back in terms of being fully immersed in Indian culture.
Mm.
But I still have bits and pieces of it where I'm like, oh, this shit was dope. I used to go to this thing called Gerba all the time when I was a teenager.
I wanted to ask you about, I watched a special. I wanted to ask you about Gerba.
Gerba's fucking Gerba sounds fire, sick. Man. Yeah. Gerba was like the greatest, the most formative. And I wish, my regret is I didn't embrace it enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it was such a phenomenon, and I'm sure it still happens. Like, Gerba is still a thing that happens, and I'm sure it's as impactful for teenagers living through it now that it was for me. But it was Friday, Saturdays in September and October at the high school. Like, everyone from town, everyone from like the surrounding towns, all the teenagers would come, and we would. It's to celebrate the triumph of good over evil.
Yeah, it's like a religious, it has its roots as like a religious almost festival type
yes.
of thing.
And
you guys did a version of it in a Jersey high school.
Yes, auditorium, massive. Yeah, and we would be hundreds of people
Which,
dancing.
Which, by the way, Gerba does sound like what a racist person thinks an Indian party is named. Oh, y'all gonna go to a Gerba?
Gerba? Bunch of genders at Gerba.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. You call
Were y'all eating samosas at the Gerba? It's like,
Yes, we are. We're doing it away from you guys. Yeah. Okay. No need to come.
Yeah, we're giving you Friday and Saturday off from all the cologne in the movie theater.
Yeah.
You get to breathe deeply.
Yes. God, let us have our fucking dance and sweat. And so it was just the...
Damn, that shit must have smelled like cologne and saffron in
there. It was... You know, when you're around it, when you're around it, it does, your nose goes blind. Okay? To me, it smelled like home.
Just all hair right. gel. Just fucking
sweat. Curve cologne. Yeah. You know, fucking
yeah.
Beto Leaf Pond.
Hell yeah, but like, dude,
that, was, that was our, like, cornerstone of it was at the beginning of the school year.
Oh yeah, yeah. So oh nice. Like, oh, it's like a real, like, social opportunity.
Yeah, all the kids would be like a bunch of the teenagers, like, we would go in for the fast dance because it's broken into two dances, into two sections. There's a beginning dance, which is kind of slow, and we go around the circle and it'd speed up until there's Arthi, which is in the middle where you praise God, come back, and it's like almost an intermission. You come back and then like it starts kind of fast, and then Ross is at the end, which we do a dance with sticks and like
yeah,
find
dude.
A partner and like hit an on beat and shit. That's and it would fucking pop. But like in the lulls, teenagers would just be hanging out with other teenagers right, doing teenage shit, right. You know, like hitting on girls and
getting drunk. Probably. Is that the first place you got drunk? Or
I never got drunk there.
No, were other people getting drunk?
People, yeah, I mean, people would take shots and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure all the uncles were lit up at some point. But like a lot of us, it would be more for us to just socialize with teenage girls and teenage guys, and we just hang out and bullshit the entire time. And like, what's going on? And it was also like where we would flex our newest outfits.
Yeah.
You know, be like, oh yeah, I went to Macy's today.
Hell yeah, dude.
You know?
So this is we're talking like 2006 probably. 2005.
I was in high school from 2000 to 2004.
Okay, 2000, 2004. Yeah. So yeah, what's fashion like? What's Indian suburban teenage fashion looking in 02.
I was all over the map, bro. Yeah. I was all over it because I hit puberty at a time. I hit puberty in 03, I would say, 02, 03. And when I was when I first started dressing, I was my dad's store, liquor store, was in a black neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he would come home with that fashion influence. And I was,
your dad?
Yeah.
Was your dad wearing throwback jerseys?
Perry Ellis, Carl Kanai, fake Fubu.
That's Perry Eldis over there.
I was rocking some Perry Ellis at that time.
I was Perry Eldis.
Perry Eldis.
Sergio Tacchini, like all that shit.
Yeah. I'm a big Sergio head these days.
I had it. Fucking way back.
Yeah.
And then puberty hit and I had an older cousin or two that would dress like Banana Republic.
The preppy
like,
shit.
Yeah.
That's like, so funny. That's exactly what I was going to say. That's exactly how the fashion was for me. Cause it's like, I'm a little younger, but we're the same generation pretty much.
Yeah.
I graduated in 07 and I grew up in Baltimore. So it's like, you know, they're like, my jeans were baggy as fuck. I didn't have any jeans that were not baggy,
uh-huh.
But when you went to like all the like the Greek dances and shit, you're like, all right, well, I got to dress up a little bit. So it would essentially be like baggy ass jeans that should have like a 3XL tall tee on them, you know? But now I got like this fucking tight like black polo, and I look like a juggalo from like feet waist down, and I look like I'm like
bananas
about to fail a fucking job interview from the fucking waist up.
That was
getting no pussy, of course.
Of course not.
I still
remember one of my most distinct outfits was, and I recall it because I got like looks and compliments.
Mm-hmm.
Like weird looks and also like compliments. Oh, that looks cool. It was a olive green, and this I would say like 10th or 11th grade, olive green Gap polo, JNCOs, and Tim's.
Mm.
Like the freshest Tim's you've ever seen.
That is so fucking funny. That's such a schizophrenic outfit. It's like none of that shit makes sense at all.
None of it at all, but I thought I was so cool.
It's like you robbed three different people and took their best piece of clothing.
Keep it in fucking jeans.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go to the Gap and find a polo that matches.
Oh, dude,
but
fuck.
It was my cousin who... was older and was getting girls.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is what he's wearing. I got to be like that.
Right.
But I also got to maintain my own sense of style.
Of course.
And I like Tim's.
Yeah.
So I'm going to combine the both.
That's so fucking. Yeah. My big goal, my big look for years was the fucking. Was like a class. It's truly a classic, like lesbian look of like some kind of loud button button up, like short sleeve Hawaiian or graphic white tee underneath, and just like jorts or like jean or like cargos or something. So like
Adam Sandler.
Yeah, dude. It was like I thought I was the man with the open Hawaiian with the white shirt underneath, dude. That was my fucking look, dude.
You look like you evade taxes.
Yeah. It was awesome. I had and I also, I wore jeans late in the game because, I don't know, I think just being fat and it was like the buttons would dig into me or something like that. And so I was wearing like dress pants before I made the switch to baggy jeans. I would be wearing like the pants I wore to church with a Hawaiian shirt over top, dude. It was fucking.
I mean, I wish I could. I wish I had more pictures of me.
Yeah.
In my fucking fly. I have one. Let me see if I can find one. In my freshest.
Eldis, what were you looking like, dude? You were wearing sweaters back in the day.
I was like a mix of like just swagless fat white boy. So, you know, you're talking about some Gap half zip ups, middle school kind of thing.
Because you had left Baltimore at this point. Yeah. We grew up, we were kids together.
This is me and my cousins.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
At one point.
That's awesome. You got to send that to me. We'll put it in the episode.
This was, I think, one of our cousins' weddings.
And we all
just wore like a different variant of Express
neon
shirt.
A neon like green or pink or yellow Express shirt.
And this is I want to say like 9th or 10th grade.
Yes.
Nautica bubble.
Hell yeah, dude. Iversons. Hell yeah. Yes. I had the Iversons.
You know, my cousin and Jenkos and Tims.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll throw those on the episode so people can see.
Yeah, I'll send them to you.
That's fucking awesome, dude. So Gerba's just like this fucking the party. Everyone's in their freshest.
Yeah,
their freshest fits.
We would go to Macy's and pick shit out, and then but not take the tags off. And we had this technique where you would take a needle and just make the hole where the tag was just a little bigger.
Big enough to take it out.
Take it out.
Yeah.
Wash, return.
You would wash it.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. No, I mean it smelled.
Yeah. We went over what Gerba smells like. You know?
Still sweat, bro.
Yeah.
Children's. But we are clever little devils.
That's awesome, dude. That's fucking hilarious. So that must have been because we had. I mean, I'm jealous that you had it basically every. It was every
weekend.
Every weekend for September and October.
September and October, like 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah.
Okay.
And we wouldn't go every weekend, and then once we got until like our later teen years, 17, 18, we would go to this club called Platinum in New Brunswick.
Hell yeah.
And that was just like every Friday or Saturday. It was just a giant Indian party.
All ages club type of thing?
It was 18 plus.
Okay, gotcha.
And then at some point became, I think Friday's 18 and Saturday's like 21 or something.
Gotcha.
But I was 23 since I was 17.
You know?
I had my cousin's ID, so it would just be like, I'm going to slide in here. And they didn't give a fuck.
Yeah. Of course.
As long as their asses were covered with someone. And so we would just be in there drunk, hitting on girls and fucking wilding out.
Yeah. That's because we had the Greek festival, which was the big, that, but it was one night a year. And that was like, you get fucked up there for the first time. We would have, and it's the same exact vibe, basically, where it's like, uncles, everyone's in there. Old people in their 20s, teens, everyone was in there. You would sneak in, you know, you would have your older cousin or like your family friend just like buy you booze when you're fucking 14.
Yeah.
And just, you know, getting fucked up. That's the first place I touched breasts in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I was touching titties in the church. I think I've told this, I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast, but it was like, I'm literally, like I'm making out with this girl and you know, we make out and we're like, should we go somewhere else? Because, you know, this girl was like, she was just randomly there. She's from our high school. And she just happened to show up at the Greek festival.
Not Greek.
Just a white girl. Like, I sort of knew her. And thank God. Because, like, I was such a pussy. I was, like, never going to make a move when I was 14, 15. Like,
same.
It took until I was literally in college and, like, in a relationship for me to be like, all right, I should try and fuck this woman.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I needed that level of reassurance that I wouldn't get rejected. But this girl just made the move, and I was like, hell yeah, dude, this rocks. And we went upstairs to go, and so, like, there's all these little nooks and crannies in the church, and there's, like, a church office. You know, I knew where it was. Like, we had Greek school there. Like, it really was a community center, so I knew the layout. And there was, like,
sculpted it out.
So, and it's, like, this is, like, midnight on a Saturday.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, no one's in the fucking office. But the door was locked, but there's, like, a little reception area right there with some chairs, and we start making out. I'm touching a breast for the first time in my life, feeling awesome. And then the door to the office opens.
Oh no.
And like six or eight old Greek guys in suits. They were counting the money from the festival. They were doing the accounting that night. They just see like a teenager, two teenagers. Well, I got my fat little mitts on a titty for the first time. I'm just like, nah, 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 you know, and they just, and we're just like, we just freeze. But that's the thing, dude. Greek, old Greek men are all for children getting pussy. Yeah. So they didn't blow up my spot. They just walked by. One guy literally winks at me. And they just keep it moving.
Did he hand you any money?
Yeah, he should have. He should have embezzled. But I was so fucking drunk. I was literally too drunk. I was also blackout drunk, so I was like fighting back. Not blackout because I remember, but I was like fighting back, like throwing up the whole time, and like my dick straight up was not working. Like I had whiskey dick as a child. The first time a woman like rubbed my penis, it was soft, and I was like, "What's going on?" I'm like, you know, like I can't. It was truly a win in a certain way because I touched a breast, but that could have been the best night of my life if I just had a little less alcohol.
I feel like whiskey dick always strikes when it's supposed to, though. Mm. I can't think of time. I can think of the few times I've had whiskey dick, and it's been like, I'm glad I had it because I probably should not have had sex with this person.
Well, there definitely was the rumor that this girl at 15 had herpes. Oh. So, you know, and she did have a pretty wicked cold sore.
I mean, if she's at the Greek fest.
Yeah, she's
not Greek.
She lived all the way across town, dude. She wasn't like a local. She was
looking for some.
This is like a 30-minute drive. I was like, how the fuck did this happen? And we weren't even like close in high school. Like I knew her, but it wasn't like we're friends or anything. So yeah, you're probably.
She was hunting, man.
Yeah, she also had a boyfriend. I think it was that kind of thing where I remember, you know, because I'm like, all right, it didn't work, but I'll probably get my dick sucked by this girl tomorrow. You know, when you're 14 and a girl throws any pussy, you're like, and this is the MySpace days. So I'm just like, you know, chatting. You know, I'm just like, it had Instant Messenger, right? Or it had DMs on MySpace, I think.
I never used MySpace.
Really?
No.
Never a MySpace guy.
Never a MySpace guy. Just AIM to Facebook.
Maybe it was AIM. Maybe we're talking over AIM.
AIM GChat.
Yeah. I'm thinking like, damn, I'm about to be in this bitch's top eight, you know? And I stalk her on MySpace because, again, we weren't even like friends. We just sort of knew each other. And I look, and I'm like, we're AIM, you know, we're chatting. And she's like, haha, that was, you know, she's like, oh, I don't remember anything. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I was like, hell, last night was pretty cool. And she's like, yeah, I was so drunk. I don't really remember what happened. And then I had to just be like, what?
Don't tell those uncles anything
and then,
about
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I had to be, but like, I don't, I think she was, because I would go, I'm like, whoa, that, I was like, I don't, I think she did remember, but she was cheating on her boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I go to her MySpace and it's like pictures of her with some guy. And she's just like, you know, this fucking guy's in her top eight and shit. And then I just be like, haha, me neither. I don't remember. You know, and like,
I'm sorry, that was your first titty experience.
There goes the time but anyway, so that was the vibe. It was really demoralizing. I was at my telemarketing job.
You did telemarketing?
I was a telemarketer
Me too.
Yeah, what kind? So
a company called TMR.
TMR.
We did research. Wow. We would call people and just read surveys, and 9 times out of 10, it was fucking. They would.
Did
just
that feel
up
weird
on
to be doing to be a Indian in America doing telemarketing? Did they recruit? They were like, look, these guys.
It was a lot of Indians.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And it never struck me as odd until just now.
We need ones that sound regular.
Yeah.
They're like, they're on to us. You're an Indian guy saying you're Nimesh like an American.
Yes.
Instead of sounding Indian, yeah, and being like, you know,
no, this is
I'm
Jeff.
Fred.
No, it's Nimesh, man. Like, who is this deep voiced Nimesh?
Yeah, yeah.
Why are they using fake Indian names? Mike, is that you?
Yeah, what kind of Jedi mind trick is this? Why are they trying to get us to think a white guy is Indian?
No, I did tell them. I did all that shit, man.
Hell yeah. You said it was surveys?
It was just surveys, and I hated it.
Yeah, oh yeah. It sucked. It was a horrible job.
I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm smart.
Yeah. What am I doing?
I got a fucking 1470 on my SATs. Yeah. I went on phone calls for it during the summer.
Oh, so that was after high school?
No, this was, I think, my junior year. I think my cousin, like, got me a job.
That's
like,
exactly the time frame I was in. But mine, dude, mine was bad. Like, I mean, I was bad at the job, so thank God I didn't. But I have, looking back, the company I worked for fully contributed to the housing crisis. Because it was a company called American Government Mortgage.
Oh, okay. So, yes.
And the whole business model, the whole business model was calling old people.
Oh, no.
Letting them think it was the government.
Oh, my
thinking
God.
It was the American government calling them. And basically, we never said it was the government, but it's like you say you're American Government Mortgage and you say you need to refinance. Like, you make them feel like it's has to happen.
Wow.
And
are you admitting to a crime right
now? No. Because I literally, I don't think I closed one single thing good. Once. And it was the kind of thing where it worked on a sliding scale. So, like, I made, like, you know, minimum wage, but it depend if you did 1 to 3, whatever, a week, you got $8 an hour. If you did 4 to 5, and it went all the way up to like 15, which this is 2006. So, like, $15 an hour was like pretty good, all the way up to maybe like 20. And there was one girl, dude, she was like kind of hot, but her voice was like she could have been a phone sex operator. Uh-huh. She was like kind of this like nerdy black girl, but she just had like this sultry, deep, sexy, like literally like hot voice. And this bitch, like every other person she called refinanced.
That's it was insane. Crazy.
And so she was caked up.
Yeah.
And you would get like a bump if it went through, like you would get. Your pay would get bumped if they just filled out the application. But if it closed, if the loan actually closed, you got like a $500 bonus or something.
You only got $500
for
jacking someone's mortgage from them?
Yeah, yeah. But whatever, but at the time, you know, it's all kids. It's all like, or losers, or like fucking like people on drugs in Baltimore. Like this is still suburb. Like this is like the suburbs of Baltimore, but not the good ones. There's real white trash suburbs in Baltimore.
Yeah.
So this was like not a fucking good suburb. So you had like fucking neck tattoo guys who were like, just fucking do it. Just, it's good for you. We're trying to give you a better mortgage. Like, you know, that kind of shit.
This is government.
Yeah. I'm from American Government Mortgage. Oh, is it still around? Oh, they've moved. Go to their Yelp page. Let's see what kind of reviews they have.
Better business.
Boston Street.
Oh, they moved to Canton, huh? We were in the fucking, Perry Hall. But I don't see a single review for them, though. These are sponsored reviews. Yeah, anyway, real scam company. My boss was a guy who just, like, he would, like, show his balls to you. Like, it was like, he would pull his nuts out. This guy, I don't want to say his name, but he was, like, he would talk about, like, going to Ocean City and cheating on his wife. He would be, like, with, like, a fucking, and he's a scumbag. He's, like, you know, some, like, just, like.
Did he run the company?
He was our boss, but I don't know who ran the company. Uh-huh. And there was like one guy in an office who was just like, you could tell he used to be some kind of banker, and now he's like been reduced. There must have been some scandal,
cocaine problem.
Yeah. But it was a hilarious place to work, and looking back, I'm like, yeah, fully this company just cheated
old
people out
of
their shit.
Those are the worst kinds.
Yeah.
But I guess like if you're young, you don't know any better.
Yeah.
Well, I think sophomore year, I did vector marketing.
Mm.
You know what that is?
That's the
Cutco knives.
Yes, Cutco. That's a classic. Around big time.
I fell for that.
Classic pyramid scheme.
Yeah, I fell for that hard and
fast.
I
almost did that.
My parents bought a knife set, you know, and the only people that bought a knife set.
Yeah.
My mom still uses like
really?
Wooden shit. No. Those knives are like special occasion. I'm like, what special occasion? It's a $900 knife set back in 2003. Right.
And they're not that good.
No.
There's no way.
My favorite part of selling those knives was I went to my uncle's house. And one of the selling points that they teach you in vector marketing is give him a pair of shoes and cut through his pair of shoes. Or like cut through his leather belt with these special scissors. I go to my uncle's house. I do the demonstration. He brings out like his kitchen shears, like just fucking run down rusty. And he does the same thing. It's like... I was like, well, that was demoralized.
Yeah.
my sister did that for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They did the same thing, but they were like, yeah, go to people's homes and show them you can cut a penny with these scissors.
Yeah.
And she'd like be there. It'd take her like 10 minutes to like cut all the way through this fucking penny. It's like, okay, I don't know when I'm ever going to need to do that.
When am I ever
going to
cut a
these.
Penny?
Yeah. That's so fucking funny.
It was, and like, everyone, like, some of us, like, really bought in. I bought in for about a week.
Yeah.
Because I thought I would get, like...
Well, you're a teen. You want to make quick money. Like,
yes.
They know what they're doing.
I want to be successful at something. I want to prove that I can do something well. And, like, I found And I had a connection at an Indian restaurant. I was like, these Indian people will sit down with me. They'll buy the knives. If I can get a restaurant, like, this is genius.
Right.
Go to the restaurant. They're like, these are good knives, but they're too expensive for how we use them. We throw these shits around and bang them up. Like, there's no way we need this kind of knife. And then, like, 2 days later, I was like, this is bullshit. And everyone that pulled up that wasn't a manager had, like, their parents' Toyota Camry or whatever.
This guy
rolled up in a brand new Infiniti SUV at the time. He's like, big ass suit, and he thought he was hot shit, just running a bunch of teenagers.
That's so funny. The top of the teenager pyramid.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big, one of those big triangular. I still remember big triangular knot tie. And it
was such a
salesman. Meanwhile, we're on like the second floor above a vacuum shop.
Yeah. Well, he made all his money getting you guys to sell to your parents.
Yes.
Those were all his knives.
Yes.
He gets a piece of that.
Fucking trash.
Yeah. That's the only people who can fucking make that kind of money are pure sociopaths.
He did it well.
Yeah. Good for him, dude. That is fucking hilarious, though. All the shit you did as a fucking kid when you just wanted to be... And I'm sure that was, like, always a thing of, like, trying to be successful. I mean, your dad... Like, because you had a big family, right?
I have a huge family.
They all lived in the same area?
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, my immediate family is four people. My mom, my dad, my sister, and I. But then all my cousins... I have 16 first cousins.
Holy shit.
So
there's so much, like, pressure. And, like, the immigrant shit... You're a first generation. You were born here?
I was born here,
But your parents...
My parents were not.
So we're in the same boat. So that kind of like... There must have been that drive. And especially when you have all those cousins, all that competition.
Yeah.
There must have been like a power ranking of the cousins going on constantly.
Uh-huh. I mean, still is.
Yeah.
But I mean, some of us have done really well. Other ones are doing good.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, it was... Like, I was, quote unquote, the smart one, right? Like, because I did the best.
That's a lot of pressure, though.
And I was like, and I was the tallest. So. 2-1, baby.
I love it, dude. It's like, it goes back to, like, almost, like, primal shit. Like, almost, like, animalistic. It was like, he's the biggest one.
Yes.
He's the best. You know?
He's going to be a doctor and save us all.
Yeah, a tall doctor. Because those two are correlated.
Yep. And I thought, and either I was incepted into thinking I wanted to be a doctor, or I actually did want to be a doctor. And then obviously that didn't work out.
Yeah, you know.
NYU dropped that fucking shit real fast.
But yeah, so you dropped, you were pre-med at NYU and then you dropped out. How old are we talking?
I didn't drop out of school. I dropped pre-med my junior year.
That's the Indian equivalent of dropping out.
Yes.
When you drop out of pre-med.
I might as well have told my mom like I was going to kill myself.
Yeah, I'm going to start sucking cocks under the bridge, Mom. Like, no, it's the same. You might as well. It's equal to not being a doctor.
It was a very loud scream.
Yeah.
I've only heard a straight up scream.
Yeah.
Bro, my cousin tells me, he's an ER doctor, will tell me stories about like having heard like moms being told their child is dead, you know?
I think
it was like the equivalent loss in my, like, I was like, what the fuck was that?
Over the phone, you told
Over the phone, yeah, I told, yeah. I did not have the balls to go home.
Yeah.
And tell, you know, they were paying my fucking dorm room rent.
Yeah.
I had to stay there and secure the spot as long as
fuck,
I could.
Dude.
It was bad. But, you know, that big, large family thing, like, I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. That dynamic was the best. Like, Greeks have large families, too.
I have a pretty small, like, even four Greek people, like, half my family's in Greece, but I only have three cousins total.
Oh, shit.
So my parents each had one sibling, and they didn't have that many kids.
You have a brother or sister?
I have two brothers.
Okay.
I have two brothers. So, you know, it's like a medium size, and there is like an extended family thing of, like, you know, my parents moved here, like I said, in the 80s, and there was still a pretty thriving Greek community in Greektown where, like, my parents were in a Greek language theater company. Like, in the 80s in Baltimore.
That's pretty sick.
There were so many Greek people there that, like, you could support that, like, culturally. So they had made a ton of friends, and they had, like, you know, you had, like, the fake uncles and fake cousins.
Why did Greek people migrate to Baltimore?
It was just, like, a port city thing, honestly. It was, like, there's a lot of Greeks in... There's a lot of Greeks in fucking New York. Not as many in Philly for whatever reason, but like New York, Baltimore.
Philly's garbage.
Yeah. You get a lot of them. You get Greeks in a lot of just like travel hubs. Like they just ended up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so funny because my grandfather, when he moved to Greece, he had the option to move to New York, or when he moved to America from Greece, he literally just took a job in. He was like my mom's family would just travel. He was a machine worker, mm-hmm. and he would just get jobs wherever he could. And he had the option. A guy in a coffee shop was like, "I have this great job for you. The problem is it's in America." And he just, of course, takes it without even asking my grandmother. That's what we're talking. That's the
Greek way.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about here. He just goes home. And he's like, "I'm going to America. I'll send money back. You guys can come in 6 months." But the guy gave him two options, and he was like, New York, literally this neighborhood that I'm in right now, Astoria, is the Greek neighborhood. You move to New York, or you can move to Baltimore. And he knew one guy that lived in Baltimore.
That's all it takes, man.
And it was like, yeah, I'll go to Baltimore. And it's just like, in hindsight, I'm glad he didn't, because I literally probably wouldn't exist, because my mom hated Baltimore so much, she moved back to Greece and met my father in Athens. Like, if she had moved to New York, like, part of me is like, if he had moved to New York, they'd own a house in New York. Like, the house they owned probably would be worth $2 million now, whereas the house they own in Baltimore is literally worth $130,000 now. Like, Greek town in Baltimore fucking sucks.
Right.
The Greek neighborhood here is fucking nice. But then, so you think like, whoa, imagine if I grew up in New York. But that's not what would have happened.
No.
What would happen is my mom would have stayed in New York. She would have fucking been, because she was an artist. She was very artistic. And she would have found, she would have figured it out here, met some guy. She would have had a much better life. but like, it would have been better for her, but I wouldn't have existed. Never meets my dumbass dad. But it is funny to think about that shit. But yeah, so we just ended up in Baltimore. And wherever you have enclaves of Greek people, like, they really do, like, you do find them sticking together. Although, I guess I don't know.
Every group is like that, I think. Like,
yeah.
I mean, when my parents came here, it was one person moved to Newark because they got a job there, and they're like, we're gonna live in Newark. And then my grandpa got like punched in the face in the elevator, and he was like, all right, guess we're leaving this place.
So Italians left Newark, Indians came in, and then you guys left.
Yes, yes, that's really what it was. There's a small white flight Indian influx.
It was a slow like color wheel to black.
Yes.
It was like, you know, fucking German, Irish, Italian, Indian, just black people.
Yes,
now there.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Indian person I talk to, their origin story is, oh, there was one other Indian person there, and they just called their cousin. Yeah. And was like, hey, come here. Yeah. And then now population exists.
It is cool to see that. I mean, like, I was just in Houston, and it's just like, there's Vietnamese people there. And it's like, just one guy went there by accident, and just all his family must have come.
Yes, same with Minneapolis and the Somalians. Yes, all of it is because cousin.
100%. That's all it takes.
It's one cousin, one person who's talkative, and is like, hey, you got to come here.
And at least Houston makes sense. Like, it's humid. It kind of feels like, I don't know what Vietnam is like, but like, it's humid as fuck. Like, it's like hot all the time. It's like, oh, that's probably like it. But Somalis in Minneapolis, it's like, what the fuck
someone
happened here?
Lost.
Yeah, like, it's cold. Someone it's cold as lost. Fuck, bro. What are you guys doing?
My wife was telling me a story about one of her friends who thought he was applying to a school in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up in like Minnesota because there's like two matching names.
Wow.
And just stayed in Minnesota.
Wow.
It's like, this is where
that's fucking wild, dude. That's fucking insanity.
Like, spoke very little English. So I guess I'm going to go to. And he got in. It's like, Mom, I'm going to Hawaii. And it's fucking. It's cold.
Damn, that's fucking brutal. Thinking you're going to fucking Hawaii.
Milwaukee, I think it was, because there were K's in the name. I'm going to go fucking Waikiki, and ends up in fucking Milwaukee. That's like so many stories. I like that. Immigrant stories are just like, motherfuckers got lost, and like, now here we are in Kansas.
Yeah, no, I get that shit. You know? But that, so, okay, so you're. Once you drop out, they're fucking pissed off at you.
Yes.
But your whole life, you must have thought, like, this is what I want to do. Because it's funny, I had that moment, too, where I was like, I don't want to do this.
Do what?
I was never a doctor material, but they thought I was going to be, like, a lawyer. I was the firstborn son, like, that whole immigrant shit.
I could see lawyer.
I could have actually been a lawyer, I think. But I had good grades. I was the same way. I had good grades. I was good at school, even though I fucking hated it. But I was good at it. And so I had that, I kind of knew, I think I really legitimately knew, probably since I was like fucking 15, I wanted to do comedy.
Really?
Yeah.
But in the back
of my head, like, it was never a thing that I, you know, kind of vocalized, but like, you know, me and Els, we grew up together, like, we were comedy nerds. Uh-huh. Like, we were writing sketches and shit. Like, we were, like, kind of...
That's awesome.
We were riffing. Like, we have a very, like, you know, we were just fucking around the whole time. We were trolls early on, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Before it became, like, we were in real life trolls. We were IRL trolls where we were just... We, you know, one of our friends had, like, his brother was dumb as shit, and we would just troll him constantly. Like, you know, it was just, like, we were always trying to do a bit, and I loved, you know, I loved comedy, all that stuff.
It's interesting because, like, with people, I mean, at least with India, I want to say specifically to my experience, because I don't know how it is for a lot of people, but that notion of entertainment being something that you could do was never relayed to us.
Mm.
Now liked entertainment. This is funny. Or like Cosby Show's hilarious.
Like
all that. Like Michael Jackson was our guy. Like that was
of course.
But it never struck us at any point as something that could be a job or something that you could pursue. And maybe it was my lack of curiosity combined with the fact that it was never really cultivated. But it was. Never like, oh, I could pursue this and that. I never even thought, how did someone get on television? Someone just did television.
True. Yeah, I guess because we were like, my mom was a very, like, she was a really talented, like, visual art. Like, she was a great drawer. She went to, like, interior design school trying to get something creative. And she never, you know, this is the thing, you feel bad for your parents because it's like they just had to survive. She didn't get to be an artist. She worked for years repairing oriental rugs, so it is kind of an artistic thing.
We say East Asian.
I think with rug you're good. I think rug is the one thing you can still call oriental. Everything rugs and a certain flavor of ramen. Everything else is like, you know. But she literally was so for years she would do that, and she was a waitress at a Greek restaurant, but she never really got to do that. And my dad was like, my dad is funny. I mean, he's like, me and my dad don't get along, but I see so much of what I got from him. He breaks balls. He's a troll. Like I said, they were in this like Greek language theater company, and my dad acted in it. And he like, you know, and his side of the family, my cousin, he literally is a fucking, like, comedy in Greece is behind by like 80 years. Like they're in like vaudeville right now, you know. So it's like my cousin works for truly the most successful Greek comedian in the entire country, and he's like, he puts on, the way it works there is like he literally puts on a sketch show. Like the guy comes out, he does essentially stand up for 20 minutes, warms up the crowd, fucks with people.
Your cousin?
No, his boss. Oh, right? Okay. And but then he writes a bunch of sketches, and he has like you know, like it's almost like SNL where there's like 8 people in the cast and this guy makes movies. Like he really is like my cousin's boss is like this, like his name's Marco Seferlis. He's like, he really is like an institution in Greece where he has like he's Greek Steve Harvey. He hosts Family Feud.
Really?
Yeah. And
that's so sick.
And so my cousin just like, he was a chef and he hated it. He went to acting school at 30. And then went to just an open audition for this. There's literally 8 roles in Greece where you can be a working actor, a working comedic actor. He just gets one of them from an open audition. And now that's his career, which is I'm so happy for him. But it's like, that's my, you know, my aunt is my dad's sister. So that's his nephew. That's like his blood nephew, right? Yeah. Like it runs in the family. Have that kind of shit. So, and they always put me in. So they always supported art and they always supported acting. Like I went to like a, you know, we always did school plays. I was always kind of a fucking ham as a little kid. Like they just knew. So there was this thing where it's like, oh, isn't it cute that Stav is like good at acting and he's funny. But they fucked up telling me it was a possibility, but it was like the kind of thing where, but you gotta be a fucking lawyer because we moved to America and we have a lot of debt and we need you to make money and erase it. So it was that kind of thing. So it was always kind of there.
That's cool. Like it never was. That was never the case.
So you never did any kind of like school play, anything
I once thought I was going to dance in a 6th or 7th grade, like talent show.
Yeah. Dance. Hell yeah.
Dance and sing, but that chickened out. And I didn't do it. It was like right when, Usher was first coming out my way. Hell I was like, I'm gonna fucking sing this shit.
So I'm gonna crush some Usher. And I was like, the dance is awesome.
I'm not doing it.
I did a Backstreet, me and me, two of my friends, and one of my enemies did a Backstreet Boys like thing. By the time we like, you know, we're like in elementary school, it's like, oh, we want to do Backstreet Boys, and then the fucking loser in the class goes, I want to do Backstreet Boys, and we're like, fuck you, pussy, you're not doing it. And then the teacher's like, no, he's got to do it, and we're like, what? We hate him. And so we did like a, there was literally like a behind this making the band like beef in my third grade Backstreet Boys which cover band. I believe I sung Nick's part from Backstreet Boys.
Good.
He was the cute one.
Yes, the you tall, know? Cute one.
I was Kevin.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
Old and sad. With goatee in third grade.
Oh, I guess there was me, you. I guess that was in there too, wasn't he?
I don't think it had was,
to be five. It had to be five of y'all.
Me, you.
Yeah.
And was fucking, it? I think it was, dude.
I don't think it was. It may have been or something.
No, I think it was.
We'll have to review the tape.
Yeah.
To go back to the doc.
That was the guy who we fucking trolled. We'll call him the Talk. Yeah, bleep out his name, and we're only. It was the Talk. we're using code names for our childhood friends that come up.
I had no idea that I wanted to do anything artistic.
Yeah.
Until I graduated college.
Wow.
And like, and it wasn't even like I'm gonna be an artist. It
so, what was your first job? Like, so you. You drop out of the med program and you finish with what?
I was a finance major.
Oh, wow.
At NYU, but I was a poor student in finance relative to my peers because it was just something to do.
Right.
Like I'm at, you know, NYU, one of the premier undergrad finance programs in the country.
Yeah.
Why not also be a finance major? Because I went in at NYU in their College of Arts and Sciences, like their general program. And I was like, I'm going to be a chem major and I'm going to become a doctor.
Pre-med, yeah.
Sophomore year, my freshman year, I fucking crushed at NYU.
Yeah.
And so I was like, let me transfer to their business school.
Now, are we getting any head at this point? How is it going?
Oh, no. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I had a girlfriend, but I was still like infatuated / in love with my high school girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
But we had broken up. And so I was like, oh, I got some new trim to have.
Yeah.
And like my second or third month at NYU, I was like, I really thought I was hot shit.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like smart, and I was like,
the tallest one of your cousins.
Yes, of course. Yeah. I was this fly Indian girl in my freshman class, and like, I still remember the move I pulled on her. I was just like, it was raining, and we were walking to like the dorms, and she was like in my class, and I just said, "You look like you could use an umbrella," and I just like we just hit it off, and like went to lunch and all that kind of shit. But like the pussy was like a back burner to getting good grades, you know.
Yeah. Damn, dude. They really, your parents really did a number on you.
Oh man, so many pussy regrets.
The two great Indian battles: getting pussy, being horny, and studying. It's like
they were Indian.
Which way, Indian man?
Yeah. my junior year, it was pussy.
Yeah.
But like one, and I was too hung up on it and all that, but.
I love the, like, it's like, do study or start Romeo dialing. That's my favorite shit in the world.
It's Romeo dialing.
Dude, it's when just Indian guy in India will just pick up the phone, call any number, and if it's a girl, try and fuck them. Like, it's, that's how horny they are on the subcontinent.
I can't believe that happens so much as a genre of entertainment. Yeah. That's Romeo dialing. Someone sent me a video of that happening, like on what's that? Ogle? What's that chat roulette type website?
Yeah.
Omegle
or whatever the fuck it is. And like a guy just like, I like your hair.
Yeah. It's like, what? Yeah, it's awesome. But so you hadn't, freshman year you had, studying was still winning.
Right. And so I went to get a finance degree junior year, got a C+ in Orgo. Dropped organic chemistry, dropped pre-med entirely.
Yeah.
And I was like really confused with what I was going to do with my life. And then it was like a little too late to commit to like being a full-on finance nerd. And I didn't even really know what that meant.
Sure.
And I wasn't, again, my biggest character flaw of myself, I think about it, is like my lack of curiosity about certain things.
Yeah.
Like I'll just go do shit.
Without
what is this about?
But not like, thinking deeply.
Exactly.
You'll do it, but you won't really give a fuck.
Yeah. And so finance was one of those things. So when I graduated in 08, I had recruited to two investment banks and went through the super day process, which means you're almost going to get the job, but you got to meet with like five people.
Yeah.
And I went to two of those and I didn't pass those rounds. So when I graduated, oh wait, I did not have a banking job.
Gotcha.
Meanwhile, all my friends were going to go off to like 6-figure jobs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm like, what the fuck?
Helping the collapse the economy.
Yeah.
They're figuring out
some of them lost, like one of them, I think one of my friends was, had a job at Bear Stearns and like,
oh wow,
lost it. And I remember, just remember him crying, like, like it was a sad day for a lot of people.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
they had their careers ahead of them, you know.
Of course, finance guys think like, this doesn't happen to us.
Yes,
we ruin other people's financial yeah. lives to get rich.
Yes,
we're the ones who take advantage of them.
Fuck. I'm gonna go work for American Government Mortgage.
Yeah. They don't have what it takes. They don't have what it takes to work across from a Wendy's and get fat as shit because you have a Baconator every day after school and before your shift at American Government Mortgage. I got so fat working there that when I came back from...
you're right.
My football coach was like, you've got too fat. I was on the line.
Uh-huh.
Like, imagine getting too fat to play defensive line in high school. Like, I really fucking chubbed up.
That's fucking hilarious. But yeah, so I graduated, no job. 2009, I'm like underemployed, waking $20 an hour, which I call underemployed because all my friends are making six figures.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck am I going to do? Took some goofy writing class at NYU, and it was like, I don't want, this is fucking... I'm being sappy around strangers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They can't tell my emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so dropped that and was like, okay.
You show emotion at your dad's liquor store, you're getting robbed.
Yep.
Yeah, you have to be a...
What's up, boss? This gun. Yeah, no. It was like, and I was in, I think, summer of 2009. I was like in a funk. I was like, my life is shitty. I'm living at home. My friends are out partying. Like,
yeah.
I can't do anything.
No cocaine.
Nothing.
No cocaine with the Wolves of Wall Street.
Yeah. I mean,
the Indian Wolves of Wall Street.
Like, they were like out doing hookah on like Friday nights. And I'm like, fuck, man, I live with my parents. And I was like, what do I like to do? And what am I good at? And I never had any fear of public speaking.
Yeah.
So let me just get on stage and see. And I wrote like 5 minutes about Hillary Clinton would have won. She just sucked a dick, you
know? Yeah. Classic.
Classic 22-year-old comedy.
Yeah.
And it didn't go poorly. It was at Stress Factory in New Brunswick. Shout out Vinny Brand.
Of course.
And
Vinny.
Loves
to do a half hour before the headliner.
He did 20. I think he did 20
loves
before
to just
me.
Show up and ruin the show.
Him and Rich Voss both did time because there was like so many people there.
Yeah.
I had brought 20 cousins.
Yeah.
And it was
hilarious. Oh, so you bet
it was a bringer.
And they see
mic.
A crowd and they're like, oh, fuck these kids.
And Boss went up, destroyed.
Yeah.
Vinny Brand went up, destroyed. And I go up and I'm like cleaning up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was still like fun.
Still a rush.
Yeah.
And there's always that when you do that first bringer, everyone you know comes. They're all just, it's such a novelty to see you. So you usually do well. And then it's always that second. Or a third open
Eastville,
mic.
Friday, 6 p.m.
Yeah.
August 11th.
Yeah. Just bombing.
August 21st, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Bombed.
I thought I was
on my way to fucking Carson or whatever the fuck was.
Yeah,
Letterman, here I come, baby. You like these jokes about the Jews?
Yeah, dude. Oh, me too. I did Eldest was there, my first open mic at a fish restaurant in College Park, Maryland.
Uh-huh.
And I did pretty well. Because it's all just a bunch of really shit. This is like a low-tier open mic in the D.C. scene.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a bunch of like not funny open micers. And I was I was solid. And I was literally like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be on SNL by next year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I think is happening. It's so funny. That if you could tap into open mic or delusion,
yes.
It's the cleanest. It's better than nuclear power as a clean energy source.
It's kept me going to this day.
Yeah.
The delusion never goes away.
Yeah. It's funny because you're like, what if I'm wrong? Because we meet so many people that are wrong,
yes.
But believe maybe even stronger than us that they should have a comedy career because all they've done is bomb and they're still around 10 years later.
It's like, beautiful.
That's insane.
That
if you think
optimism,
about it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Some people say insanity. I say keep going, guys.
That's beautiful.
You got to keep these clubs open.
Well, we should answer some questions here. We should solve some problems because we
do
could,
that.
It's great to hear your story.
Thank you for having me, man.
Of course, dude. And do some plugs here. We like to do them between the so they're not buried at the end. If you want people to, what do you want people to check out?
When is this coming out?
We can we have so many, we can figure it out. But let us know if you need it to come out
April,
at a
May-ish,
point.
April May
ish. Well, if it comes, well, I got a new special coming out.
Okay.
I don't know what it's called yet.
Okay.
I got a working title.
Love it.
It's working title's Lucky Lefty. It might change.
Okay. Tell us when it changes. We'll like ADR your voice.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's called. And then Eldest will say it.
It's called. Please go watch it.
Hell yeah.
It's on YouTube.
It's
my favorite thing I've done. I've been working on it for a year and 2 weeks now.
Hell yeah, dude.
And it's unlike anything I've done stand up wise. Awesome, so I'm excited about it.
Go check it out. Check out the comedy special. We're going to forget. Yeah, it's just going to be weird. We never remember anything we say we're going to do next. Go ahead, Eldest.
I'll remember. I'll text you about it.
Yeah, we'll figure out the schedule. We'll let you know. When do you know when it comes out?
As of now, it's going to be April 30th.
Okay, so we'll try and time it so that it comes out.
That'd be awesome.
That weekend.
Thank you.
Or that week. All right. Hit us with a fucking a question here, LD.
Hey there. Did it go?
No.
Hey there. First time, long time. I guess, well, I've been talking to this girl now every day. Like, I sort of stumbled into it weirdly, corresponding with her about like some short fiction and stuff. And I'm not actually that attracted to her, but I think she's into me. But she is like offering me a variety of delicious homemade baked goods. And I guess basically the question is, how unethical is it for me to lead this woman on? If it means that I'm getting some delicious treats out of it, like how far can I do it? Do I just constantly lead her on and just keep going at it and keep being like, oh wow, yeah, this is so great, and just eating her food, or do I eventually have to cut this off? That's it. Thanks.
How did Napoleon Dynamite get your phone number?
Yeah. You do not have a pussy getting voice.
I thought homemade baked goods was going to be code for something. I think he's just talking about cookies
he's talking
and
about
brownies
muffins and shit. So this is very interesting. So, so you've been corresponding. Here's what's going on here that this guy doesn't understand. You think you're not going to end up fucking this woman? What do you have going on? You are being seduced by her, dude. Yeah. You're like, I don't even really know how I got started talking to her. Like, but whatever. We correspond all the time. Now she's offering me baked goods. Is
After
it unethical?
After I eat these muffins, I wake up in her apartment. Yeah. Any recollection of what's going on. And, you know, I really feel well-rested and relieved.
Yeah. My balls are empty, but I wake up. Not everything's the same. My hair's a mess, and my nuts are shriveled. They've been sucked dry. And I have fucking blueberry muffin crumbs all over my mouth. So here's what's going on. It's not unethical, but this is the reverse of this happens all the time, where it's like you're being seduced here, you're being courted. This woman, you don't even want to talk to her, but you keep talking to her. Why is that? And now you're thinking like, is it unethical? You're gonna take the baked goods.
Yes.
Okay, the baked goods are gonna be good. You're going to be, you know, if she does, she's doing everything she can to try and suck your weird dick right now, is what it feels like to me.
This is what I would tell this person.
Yeah.
Just replace delicious homemade baked goods with actual sex, and this would not be a question you would be asking us. You're
right.
Just like, yes, I'm going to keep fucking this woman. Until she realizes I want nothing to do with her.
Right. That's very true.
Let's do that, bro. Yeah.
No. The thing is, he's going to end up like married to her.
Yeah.
Because you don't have shit going on. And clearly, like, this guy doesn't fuck. He doesn't have a voice that fucks. Yeah. He does sound like a Nicolas Cage character. He sounds like late period Nicolas Cage playing Napoleon Dynamite. So look, it's not unethical, but just know, with every bite of the cookie, you get closer to fucking this woman. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Every time you talk to her, every time that, like, I have a friend who has a rule. It's like, the more time you spend talking to someone, the higher the probability you'll fuck them.
Yes.
Like, that's just how it goes.
But there's a curve, you know, at some point that falls off, like, precipitously.
For sure. But I think it falls off into no communication. if you keep let talking, that
friend zone curve.
Oh, I see. I see.
You know, you're like you're yeah. here. This is your peak fuck moment, sure. and then after this, the all talking is pointless, and you're.
Fuck, I think that's fair. You know? But I also think that's mostly the case in the opposite, like with a guy trying to pursue a woman.
Yes.
With a guy, that curve. That can pop back
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know right. what I mean? Like, yes. depending on where you catch him in his life. And she is doing the thing of just being cool, being nice, laying in the cut, waiting for you to get rejected by some woman at the Ren Fair, I'm guessing. And, you know, you're going to come home all sad, full of turkey leg.
I suspect
and
this
she's
guy.
Gonna, she's going to find, she's going to suck that dick when you're at your most vulnerable.
This guy is, at this. In reality, this is just some guy going to Starbucks.
Nah, that voice is some fucked up. He's got a weird hobby, I guarantee you. He's into like Warhammer. He's into Ren Faire. He's into something that's not so weird, but like just a little off the beaten path. Or like, you know, he like goes and watches like Kevin Smith movies live with Kevin Smith there. You know what I mean? Like that kind of, he's into some kind of like subculture that's just off the mainstream, that's but such not a too specific crazy.
Reference. Kevin Smith movies live.
Yeah. Cause Kevin Smith will tour those fuckers. I'm a fan. No shots at Kevin Smith.
No.
We'd love to have him on the pod. But yeah, that's, it's not a matter of ethics here, buddy, because you're not really in control of the situation. You are allowing yourself, you're getting closer and closer to being seduced by this woman.
Submit, man.
Because already he said, I don't know how I talk to her. And he said, I'm not actually that attracted to mm-hmm. her. That is going to grow with every fucking dessert you eat to the point where you're just like, I'm attracted to her enough. And she's going to find you in a right position. So it's your decision. What do you want this to be? And the fact that you haven't made it clear yet, you can, if you're really worried about the ethics, you could be like, hey, just so you know, I'm really not, I would prefer this to be a friendship. And
I'm look, here for the donuts, bitch. Yeah.
And if she gets that, cool, and if not, whatever. But the fact that you haven't said that, yeah, every donut gets you closer to fucking her. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
I think we solved that guy's
problem. We solved this problem big time.
Hey, Stav, long-time listener, I mean, for as long as it's been, I have a bit of a conundrum. So, about a few months ago, I met this girl, and things were going really, really well, I thought. She was, like, the first girl I've ever really emotionally connected with, you know? And it was about a month and a half in, and she just up and blocked me on everything. No words, no nothing. And it's been about a month since then, and I still just can't get over it. I've like been with other girls since, but nothing's quite the same. And I don't know, man. It's just, how do I get over this? Because it's just, it's really bugging me out. It's like the first girl I've ever really like. I wouldn't say I'm in love with her, but
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I kind of was.
You are, and man. She just kind of fucking
felt like I got screwed over a little bit. I did a little investigating after, you know, checking her out, and it seems like I was a rebound without her telling me that I was a rebound. So, just kind of sucks. If you hear any rattling, that's my car. But, yeah. Thanks, man.
Big fan. She's of the in show. The trunk.
That's my dog. That's my dog. It's my car is and my dog. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I mean,
shut the fuck up.
You like, you know what it does when you block a person? You know what you do to a man when you block him on everything?
Rebound,
man. Oh, fuck, dude. Yeah, this man. This guy's fucked, dude. We've all been there, dude. The thing is, this is funny because we've had two guys back to back where we've kind of have like the genders are swapped here.
Yeah.
We have one guy being seduced slowly over time by a nice girl who he's not that attracted to. And here we have someone who, like, this is kind of like this is the traditional, like, girls are like, I'm worried he's just using me for sex.
Yeah.
And that's what she did. She used that little boy pussy up, dude. She got her fill. She got her fill, and she fucking threw you in the trash, brother.
You know what's interesting to me is, like, the time frame of this guy. It's like, he started talking to her 2 months, and then a month and a half in, it's done. That's only, you know.
Oh, yeah, a couple weeks. You're so right.
It's like, all right.
It was about a month and a half in, and she just up and blocked me on everything. So basically, So about 2 months ago, I met this girl and things were going really well. I thought she was like the first girl. So, okay. Okay, so look, man, I don't know what to tell you here. This fucking happens.
Yeah.
You got the thing you have to remember. This is my mantra. Don't think about getting sad. Think about getting sucked off like 10 times.
That's a great mantra.
You know, like, that's the good part. I still think about that. There's girls, there's a girl I dated earlier this year last year. It's been like over a year. And like, I haven't.
Feels like yesterday.
And it really does. And I haven't been able, like, the emotional part of it, like, is still fucking me up. I haven't been able to connect to anyone. Now, part of it is, like, I'm busy, so it's, like, this weird thing where...
Busy getting your dick
sucked. Yeah. You're kind of, like, stuck in, like, ice where you were in that relationship when, like, you work. Because I've been traveling so much, it's not like I can really relate to anyone anyway.
Right.
But I know what it's like to just have somebody that you can't get over, but... Think about the time you got, you know, think about the best head you got from her. You wouldn't have that right now. Mm-mm. You wouldn't have that memory if you didn't feel this pain also.
It's better to have gotten ahead and lost.
Yeah, absolutely. Than never have gotten ahead at all. And it does, look, there's nothing here, bro. Any further investigating is going to make you feel worse, right? You don't want this information.
Put the cops on your trail.
Yeah. Like, I did a little investigating. You're like, what does the fucking other guy look like? Right?
Yeah.
What does the next guy look like? And you're fucked either way. If he's hot, you're like, damn, that guy's so much hotter than me. If he's ugly, you're like, wait, what the fuck? This bitch left me for an ugly guy? Like, you're never going to feel good.
At least she thought well enough of you to disconnect from you because she... didn't want anything else to do with you because she also felt like, oh, maybe I have this connection, but I got to go back to my old guy.
Yes.
I you're too good for me. I got to quit you cold turkey.
That's a positive spin on it, or your dick was trash.
Either way, let her go. Yeah. Okay, man.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
But it is true. So, like, the people that I've had to, like, block are girls that I'm like, I can't. If she's in my life, I'm going to try and fuck her. You know what I mean? Like, it's only going to complicate things. So, yeah, that is I would see that as a positive. And from your perspective, though, chalk this up. Keep moving forward. Don't torture yourself. You caught her in a rebound. That kind of sucks because you wanted something more. But we don't get what we want, brother. And she wasn't there with you. So whatever you were feeling, if it's one-sided, you don't fucking want that. You don't want you date and this just happens later on. In certain ways, it's a blessing that this happened 2 months in or a month and a half in, because if you date for a year and your feelings only get deeper and deeper and she realizes she wants nothing to do with you, that's an even fucking harder pill to swallow. That's an even, you know, deeper cut. So
then you're doing, you know, 25 to life.
Yeah, for sure. And look, no more researching, okay? No, you're done. Yeah. You're done. Do not research her. Do not. No. Whatever you fucking do, that's only going to fucking hurt more. So move on with your life. You know, go get some other pussy. And here's the other thing. You said this is the first person you deeply emotionally connected to. You couldn't even say that you love her, but you were on the path to feeling those kinds of feelings. So there's also a silver lining here where it's like, this is a good feeling. You want to feel this again. You're chasing it the wrong way. It's not in this woman. Like, you got to find it in somebody else. Somebody who like returns those feelings. That's going to feel 10 times better than what you're feeling now.
Give it a month or two.
Give it some time. Yeah. Don't beat yourself up. Don't research her. And, you know, and here's the other thing. You're like, I've been with girls since then, but nothing really. You literally, what if one of those girls loves you, you fucking asshole?
You're doing to them
what she did to you. Yeah. They're a rebound for you, motherfucker. So think of it that way. So that you can almost empathize with her, because those girls you don't want anything to do with. What if there was some guy, it's all a cycle where everyone's chasing something else and there's other people getting hurt in the meantime. So don't. You know, just fucking go about your life, look for something else, look for something serious, look for those return feelings, but you just got to chalk it up to taking the L.
Yeah, take the L, man.
Take the L. The path to a W is littered with L's. That's another motto of this show. The more losses you take, the closer you are to a win.
I like the other one better.
Yeah, they're both.
They're pretty good. Yeah,
they're both pretty good. Hit us with another one, Big LD. Yeah.
Hold on, stop. I got to cut out in like 5 minutes.
We do one more?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Let's do one more.
I got a call about Gerber. I'm not lying.
That's awesome.
Great podcast, dude. I love the show. Anyways, question here. I still have a folder of nudes that girls from my past sent me.
Come on, man.
And I cannot, dude, I cannot delete it.
Yes,
I
cannot
get rid of it.
You should delete it right now. You have a new girlfriend in love with her?
This guy stinks. And I, dude, I cannot.
Dude, don't call me with shit like this, photos. Man.
This is like my ex from college.
Pause it for a second. Do you hear his voice? I cannot. You know what you're doing is fucked up.
It's, the sad thing is, this is. I feels like he has a physical folder of all.
Fucking do it. He has pictures he took through their window with a long lens, with a fucking paparazzi lens. Play the rest of it, Eldis.
I've had flings with since, and I, like, every time I open this, and if I ever bust to it, dude, I feel like this obvious, like, guilt and kind of just shame about it, but I cannot bring myself to delete it.
Well, he's correct about feeling those things.
I know that it's easy. The answer is simple. Delete it.
Yes.
But, dude, I can't.
Yes, you can.
So, I need advice. Like,
okay,
because I constantly tell myself, I'm going to return to this, or I'm going to regret it, or...
How about this?
It's fucking crazy.
Give us
pause this. We're done with this fucking guy. His voice is this. Like, this is. He's not a pedophile, but this is how a pedophile would sound talking about child pornography. You sound like a pedophile talking about deleting his child pornography, dude.
Give us your girlfriend's phone number and we'll tell her that it's on your phone.
Yeah, dude. Okay. Truly. You can't do this kind of shit, man. This is fucked up. Truly, maybe you need to hear it from a fucking other person. This is fucked up. Now, I don't know these girls. We don't know them. But, like, do you think they're okay with this, bro? Like, no. The answer is no. You break up. You don't get to fuck them still. Now, look. Whatever's in your head's in your head. They can't take that from you.
Spend
right?
one day putting it all in the spank bank for real and then fucking burn that
shit. It's gotta go, brother. Dude. It's gotta fucking go. Especially if these people don't... Like, it's just like a weird invasion of somebody's privacy if they don't want... If they're not fucking with you. Now, look. If some of these girls don't get... Some of them might not give a fuck. I don't know. But you're so much better safe. Yeah, you're so much better safe than sorry on this. And it's just like, you know it. Hear how disgusting your voice is when you say, I cannot do it. You can't, dude. Keep whatever's in your head's in your head. That's fair. And look, there's nothing wrong with a little memory beat.
If you don't delete the photos, you're going to lose the real life version of nudity that you have right now. Yeah. Like, your girlfriend will find them.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of
time. Someone will. And it'll be like, who the fuck? Why are there all these different girls? Like, what is this? Yeah. And the other thing is, as a fucking human being, you're kind of getting off on the weird shame and how you know it's wrong, how it's like, this is low level, like sexual assault, what you're doing. And the fact that you don't want to start going down that path, bro, like you're beating off the shit that someone has didn't really consent to you or consented in the past. Like you're dipping your toes in some fucked up waters.
That's an adult ass response.
That if you fucking cannonball into those someday, you might, you know, you sound like a pedophile now, you might be a pedophile later, or and maybe not pedophile, but just something fucked up. Like, what's in your voice? Play, you know what, just listen to this voicemail again that you left us and try to not be disgusted.
Yes,
it's this is a fucked up,
it's left a poor taste in all of our
this
mouths.
This is such a bad way to end this episode. We might have to do a question after Nimesh leaves, because this guy can't be the last guy.
Let's do a quick palate cleanse.
Yeah, quick palate cleanse, Eldis. Here we go. Okay. The Eldis special. We always like to put Eldis on the spot, see if he does a good last one or not.
I'll get us with a simple yes or no.
Okay, nice. That's perfect for this. A little long for a yes or no, but...
Hey, Stav, it's Dimitri. I personally see you as kind of my spirit animal, because I'm also a chubby Greek kid at my heart. And the thing is, I've been kind of on the bigger side for...
I'm sorry, that was the wrong one.
Fucking dumbass. Fuck Dimitri, I guess. All right, we'll do the quick yes or no. Nemesh will leave. Me and you will finish Dimitri's question, Eldis. Okay. We can't leave our fat little Greek boy hanging like that.
Sorry, fat Greek man.
God damn, you're Eldis, the fucking super producer. What are you fucking, how are you going to find them? Yeah, okay.
Yes, this is the one.
All right, all right.
And it's 30 seconds.
Perfect. Nice.
Once it loads.
Hey, Stabby Baby, this is Jeff from New York. I'm hoping you can clear something up for me on the Greek end of things.
Sure.
Growing up out here on Long Island, there's a lot of Greek fishermen around. Okay. And we have a little stereotype. We might call it a stereotype around here. That Greek people like to poop on the beach. Are we just super racist, or is this true? I'm hoping you can clear up this
what
Greek
the fuck?
Issue.
I'll let you answer this, because I don't know, but yeah. I'm taking this with me.
Hey, man, you know Greek people shit on the beach?
Dude, I don't know. How the fuck did this start? What the fuck is this?
Right here, baby.
Not only... Okay, no. No.
I was wondering.
But, I mean, not like I do remember being on a... I remember, in fact... a kid shitting. I was in Greece and a child like let a log go in the fucking ocean and it cleared out the beach. So not only do we not shit, but we are just as terrified of ocean shit as everyone else. It was fucking disgusting. How did what poop on the beach? What the fuck? Now look, can I be honest
guys,
with you
guys? It's my people. It's just what we do.
Honestly, digging a hole and shitting in the beach if you have to shit doesn't sound so bad if you're in a secluded area, but then you still got a fucking shitty asshole. Mm-hmm. It seems like too much. I'm going to just say no, Jeff. I don't know where you heard this. I mean, Long Island is the most Republican part of the greater New York area.
He isn't Greek.
No. Okay, he heard this about Greek fishermen. Now, I don't know what kind of fucking mongrel Greeks moved to Long Island. So maybe there are, maybe there's an offshoot that's out there shitting on the beach, disrespecting, mm-hmm. you know, Long Island. But
well, maybe that's just something they told you to keep your disgusting ass away from the beach.
Yeah.
And now it's an all Greek
oh,
beach.
That's true.
It's pristine.
That's a great idea.
You
a
don't
want to
go
point.
There. We shit in the beach.
Yeah, we're shitting everywhere. We're fucking sucking each other. There's a bunch of gay shit happening.
Yeah, don't go, man.
You want nothing. You want nothing to do about it, Long Island. We're disrespecting the police, having gay sex. You know, shit the Long Island people hate. Saying Trump's bad, all that kind of stuff. Stay away. We're shitting in there.
This
yeah.
beach.
But so that's your answer, Jeff. And Nemesh, thank you, my friend. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Great
man.
Episode.
Thanks for having me. Thank you, man.
We'll send Nemesh on his way, and then we'll come back and answer Dimitri's question. But go watch the special, Lucky Lefty, or whatever the fuck it's called. It's probably out this week. We're gonna try and time it so that it comes out this week.
Please, man.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
See you next time.
I got this pitch call.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, yeah. Oh, Gerber's a great idea for a movie. Yeah.
Called Spice Boys.
That's awesome. Man. You got it locked up.
It's already done.
Yeah, dude. Okay, we're back. Nemesh had to go. He's got a fucking call. He's making he's gonna start a new Gerber. He's gonna start his own Indian underage club in Paterson, New Jersey. But we're back, folks. Me and Eldis are gonna thug it out. We're gonna talk to our boy Dimitri, and we might take another one. Just fucking let our nuts hang. We want to provide the entertainment for our beautiful people. So we don't want to leave Dimitri hanging. We don't want to leave you guys hanging. So hit us with Dimitri's question, Eldis. Let's hear it from the top.
Stav, it's Dimitri. I personally see you as kind of my spirit animal because I'm also a chubby Greek kid.
Love it.
At my heart. And the thing is, I've been kind of on the bigger side for a while now. I've been up to like 300, but I'm down to like 285 right now.
Nice.
And my issue is I'm trying really, I'm really putting a lot of thought into giving more of a shit about my health and eating better and working out more and whatnot. But whenever I actually get hungry, all I ever want to eat is Baconators and Canes and fried chicken and other garbage.
Of course.
And you've been on this weight loss journey. I know at your core you're a fat boy, so you understand me. Is there anything, any sort of advice you could give me to prevent me from consistently, like, making a smart choice and eating a salad and then getting too hungry and getting Five Guys and undoing all my progress. Thanks, Dog. Appreciate you. Whenever you're coming out to Denver, I'll see you. Peace.
My man, little Dimitri. Dude, I get it. I get it. This is tough. But you sound like you're pretty young. I think it's smart to do it. I think it's smart to do it now. One regret I have is that in my life, I have taken fitness really seriously at points. I've lost weight. I yo-yoed my whole life. So there was a point in college where I lost a ton of weight. I was like, you know, like 220, which I was at like 300 and I dropped like 80 pounds. I was feeling awesome. I was working out all the time. That was actually the first, me and my brother worked out for the first time. He helped me when he was still in college getting his like degree. He was just a little meathead, but he would help me work. We would go to Planet Fitness. We spent a summer from college, like really working out. And then I just got a girlfriend and I immediately got fat again. It was like, well, this is the reason I didn't want to get fat, it was to get pussy. And then again, I did the same. I've done it multiple times in my life. I was losing some weight. And then I fucked my foot up, gained weight, started, you know, wasn't as active, went on the road immediately. The road is fucked up for me. I was, you know, that's been my downfall many times. Same thing happened during the pandemic. I lost 60 pounds during the pandemic. I gained it all back on the road and then some. And so, but I will say that I feel the best, the most happy I've ever been in my life are the moments where I have given myself time to work out, to focus on myself, to prioritize my sleep, to prioritize my eating. And you know, I'm a little creative. I work kind of hard, but I don't work, you know, it's not the level of like insane, you know, the insane like effort that I put into work. I've put that all into my weight loss, and I've been really happy. I've said like my favorite, if I could do anything right now, what I would do is fucking work out, cook my meals, watch movies, get high, write for like an hour or two, or maybe like on days we have to podcast, and then just chill out, see my friends, not do stand up. So what I would say to you first and foremost is you're young, you have the time now, take advantage of that. Take advantage of really, because you have lifelong habits of being fat as shit. In your heart, you know, for a variety of reasons, you get comforted by, you know, Canes or Baconators or whatever the fuck you're talking about, Five Guys. So it's not going to be easy to break that habit. And what I would tell you is, since you're a young guy, since you probably don't have that many responsibilities, like really, really focus, give yourself the time. And if you do have responsibilities, like it might even be worth taking a vacation to spend 2 weeks only focused on your eating. Only, like, you can do whatever the fuck else you want, but a day is, look at it as your day is a success if you stay underneath, you know, these calories or whatever. I think counting calories is actually pretty good when you are starting here, because you can kind of make versions of the meal that you like. Like if you like cheeseburgers and shit, you can make a nice turkey burger. You can use lean beef, and as long as you measure it out and you stay under your calories, you can do a version of the meals you like, and it's not that hard. It's just time consuming, right? And since you're a young guy, I would say figure that out. Find the stuff that you like. Lean beef and potatoes and a fucking two slices of bread and like fat-free cheese, that's not that much. That is not that many calories. That's not that unhealthy for you. And being a big fat piece of shit like you and me, we have pretty high calories and we can lose weight. Like you probably eat like 2,500, almost 3,000 calories a day, and you get started and you get used to it and you find the meals that work for you. And then you just kind of slowly, you get more comfortable with it. The reality here is though, buddy, it's going to be hard work, right? There's no cutting corners here. And that's the most frustrating part about losing weight is you know what it is. You know what you got to do. You got to eat less and you got to fucking move around a little bit more. But it does take some mental effort to eat less. So I would say really focus on it. Try and establish that habit for like a month if possible, and then slowly fold in other parts of your life. One of my biggest regrets is that, I mean, it's not a big regret because I went back on the road on the pandemic hard, and it's helped my career a lot. And I think in the future it will set me up for success. But there was a point after the pandemic where I was 60 pounds lighter, and I was really almost felt like I had burned in those habits for life. And I just didn't do that. I got too complacent, and I liked getting fucked up too much, and I liked eating like shit on the road. And so that's all I would tell you is, now that you're young, really focus on it. You probably have a shitty job, or maybe you don't have a job at all. If you don't have a job, it's even better. Honestly, take a lighter course load if you're in college and like focus on losing weight, focus on that stuff. But just work at it, brother. And I think making versions of the meals you like really helped me when I did lose a lot of weight. Like, I was grilling every fucking day, and my meals were pretty fucking delicious too.
It sounds like he's like getting fast food a lot. I mean, a huge part of like losing weight is just like being comfortable cooking your own shit, getting in the kitchen, and like, you know, there's like he mentions like salads. I feel like there's this huge like a salad should be fucking huge, especially if you're 300 pounds.
You need
to be realistic about like what you're putting in it that'll actually keep you full. And it's like there's so much shit you could put in a salad. It doesn't need to be like lettuce and some shitty like dressing you get at the market. Like, you can put like walnuts in it,
some cheese,
like,
some avocado, some cheese, some sausage. Like, there's ways to go about it. And that's a good point. Cooking for yourself is such a fucking little win, because like, even healthier restaurant, like when we go out on the road and we have breakfast, it's not unhealthy, but it's like this breakfast, you know, this diner is still putting more butter in it than we would put in anything. Yeah. And like, you can make a really satisfying breakfast at home that's sausage, potatoes, eggs, bread, and it's like a 500 calorie thing, where if you got the same thing in a diner, even eating healthy, it's probably like twice the calories.
Yeah.
So you just got to figure out, cooking for yourself is the first step. And since you're a young guy, I think that is going to be a big step. So take a little time, learn to cook your own stuff, build the habit of the diet, because the diet is what does it all. And believe me, I know it's hard. I'm struggling with it myself. I have a really hard time when I'm super busy keeping up with it. And I really do have to dedicate a lot of time to it. So we're rooting for you, little guy. Let us know how it goes. Feel free to call in.
I just want to say too, like, there's also like, it does sound like he's getting fast food a lot. Like, force yourself to think about what you're ordering at a fast food place. Like, if you get a Baconator, like, throw one of the buns away. Do you really need it? Is that part of what's good for it?
Or go to Chick-fil-A and get the grilled chicken sandwich. You get two fucking patties of grilled meat.
Yeah.
And don't do a mayonnaise based sauce.
Yeah. If you're going to Cane's, get like 3-piece chicken tenders. Like, you don't need the fries and a five piece and a soda and shit. And, you know, once you start like thinking like that, it's like, wow, that's like a lot of work. And it's like, well, do I even need chicken tenders? Maybe I should just eat something else to like hold me over until like it's dinner time or something.
But that, in my experience, it helps to have something strict at first.
For sure.
That is hard.
Yeah.
That is hard to stick to, and that you just have to make your whole goal in your life to stick to that, and that helps your habits, and that informs the way you think of stuff. But the good news is, the younger you do it, the better off you are. So we're rooting for you, little guy. Let's do one more here, Eldis. Okay.
Give me a sec.
Fucking idiot. Oh, fuck. I need to make a smoothie after this, folks. Little fucking spinach smoothie. Drink my veggies.
Hey, Stav, you beautiful Greek bitch. Hey to your guest, whoever you are. I'm sure you're also a beautiful bitch. Probably not Greek, but still beautiful, I'm sure.
You're right, Indian.
Eldis, learn how to play the first call correctly, you fucking Albanian idiot.
This guy's coming in hot.
Fuck you.
Love you guys. I'll make it quick. I used to do comedy 10-plus years ago.
There it is. That's the energy.
Sucked ass.
Failed open micer, huh? You don't say, coming at us that fucking hot. All right, go ahead. You made a mistake, because inherently I don't respect you now.
I played the first call correctly, you fucking Albanian idiot.
Yeah.
Love you guys. I'll make it quick. I used to do comedy 10-plus years ago, went through a divorce, sucked ass, and then I stopped doing comedy.
A divorce open micer.
I was okay at it, or maybe not. I don't fucking know. Maybe I was shit, but I love doing it. I've given up any idea of doing it as a job.
Yeah.
You've talked a lot about how much it fucking sucks. I get that. But, like, I feel like I want to do it again. Should I at least give it a try as a hobby, or should I just forget it? And if I do, how do I get back in? I don't know. I look forward to your advice. Thanks, Todd. Thanks, Elvis. And thanks, whoever is the guest, who I don't know who it is, but I'm sure you're very funny. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Fuck you guys. Yeah, this makes so much sense. I was doing comedy. I got divorced. And I stopped doing comedy. I wonder why you got divorced. Sorry, honey. I forgot it was your father's retirement party. I was doing a show in front of four people and bombing. Okay, look, bud. Yes, comedy does suck. But most of life sucks too. Let's also be honest. Like, it's hard to make it it's hard to make a living at this if you pour everything into it. But I always thought, like, this was my plan when I moved to New York, was give it a go for, you know, 5 years, whatever, till I'm 30. I moved when I was 26. I was like, if by 30 I don't have some traction, I'll probably move back home, or move, you know, probably Baltimore, D.C., who knows. But I don't think I would ever stop doing comedy. Like, there is something that you just, I just do love perform. Like, it has become my job so much that it's zapped a little bit of that out of it. I will admit that, like, sometimes these shows, I take it for granted. These are awesome shows. We're going to fucking theaters and shit. And it's taken a little bit of the pure, just, like, enjoyment out of it when you just have to do it constantly, even when you don't want to. And that's the difference between being a pro and when you make something your job and when it's just, like, your hobby and something you like. But I guarantee, I was much happier as a person when I was just doing, I was going to open mics. There was a great scene in D.C. Shout out to the Big Hunt. It's now gone. I became a much better comic in that room and other open mics in the D.C. area. Sean Joyce just opened up another club called, what's it called? Hotbed in D.C. Go check that shit out. But same guy who ran a lot of the shows that, you know, I would go to every week, and I would have my friends there. And the reality is, there is a way to do stand-up comedy, and I think a lot of people would be happier if they did do it kind of like a hobby or semi-professionally, the kind of thing where you just want to get good enough to be an opener at the local good club, and you want to maybe run your own show. And, like, your goals don't have to be touring stand-up comic, get on TV, get on specials. Your goals can be, like, you know, work in the club in my hometown, write good material, enjoy it for the art of it, enjoy it for, you know, and I'm hesitant to say use it as a social outlet, but as long as, because something that, that, like, fucking fucks everything up, that kind of takes the beauty out of everything, is competitiveness, and is, like, wanting to succeed and, you know, make money and all this kind of shit. Whereas, like, if you have a good job and you really love comedy, and, you know, you thought you were pretty good at it. Listen, my guess is my guess is we look at some of those tapes. It didn't go as good as you thought it did in your head. But hey, that's just a hunch. I don't know for sure. Either way, if you love it, yeah, fuck it, dude. Go do some open mics. Run your own show. In fact, running your own show is nice because you actually can add something to the community. I remember being in Baltimore, and every time somebody ran a good show, that created stage time for people, that helped other people become a better comic, and there is something to doing it, making some friends, getting better at it the way you would get, the way you fucking play rec basketball, or the way, you know, people paint or something like that. I can tell you, if shit wasn't going good for me, that's what I would be doing. I would be in Baltimore, I would have a good monthly or weekly show, I would be doing shows, and I would be, you know, headlining small rooms and, like, opening for big acts. Like I can tell you, as a touring comedian now, if there's a good comic who just is solid but doesn't want to make this his career or her career, and I can use them to open, that's kind of cool, because, like, it's expensive to bring fucking openers out. And if you know, you have an opportunity to make... I made some of my best connections to people when I still lived in Baltimore. And I probably would have kept those connections even if I didn't move to New York. So there's definitely a way to do it, but just be realistic about your goals. Don't be bitter about it. Don't be bitter about the people that didn't make it. You know what I mean? Like, just understand that this is a different way to go about it. And I definitely would be doing that. I would have a real job, and then I would also try and make like a couple grand, 15 grand a year, just as a little extra income.
Yeah. Your local ecosystem needs a good open mic.
Absolutely.
Start one. Don't try to big time
open don't mic. Big or dick don't, the new ones.
Or don't try to fuck like 19-year-old
don't try and fuck 19-year-old girls who love comedy just like you. They deserve to be able to just do comedy. But yeah, don't big dick people. Don't, you know, be a cool guy in your local. Don't, you know, don't because you, anyway, whatever. But yeah. There's a way to do it, pal, and we're rooting for you. Just take it down. Don't use the energy you use on this call. Okay? That's my advice. That's my most important advice to you. Don't come in so hot. You come in real hot, everyone's like, who the fuck is this guy? And then you just become meek for the next 5 minutes. I love that. When you see someone like, what's up, you fucking idiots? And everyone's like, and he's like, so anyway, my wife fucked my brother, and no one in my family speaks to me anymore. Fucking, but she's Chinese, and he's a fucking beep. All right, so that's a nice one to end on. Fuck it. Thanks again to our friend Nimesh, however the fuck you say it. Very funny guy. It was fucking cool to hear about. It's interesting to talk to people of other immigrants and what their shit is like. But go watch a special. Thank you guys for listening. Subscribe to the Patreon, all that good stuff. Come see us on the road. The Fat Rascal Tour Part 2 is out, has been announced by now. So hopefully it's already sold out. I don't fucking know. We're recording this a little bit before it comes out. But we love you, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.